If you're someone who's been told you weren't good enough, not big enough, not fast enough, not smart enough, or if you've ever felt paralyzed by a failure you just weren't willing to accept, this is the show for you. Hustle and Motivate is a blueprint built by guests who've overcome obstacles, silenced critics, and overcome adversity by seeing every failure as an opportunity, realizing the true power of the underdog mentality. This is Tyler O'Shea, and you're listening to Hustle and Motivate. Ian Harding was overweight for most of his young life. Constantly picked on, made fun of, and picked last for team sports, he finally decided to make a change when he was about to graduate college. So he registered for a triathlon, weighing over 300 pounds and not having his own bike. Then, exactly 1 year later, he raced in that triathlon 100 pounds lighter and finished fifth in his age group after everyone said it couldn't be done. This is really an awesome conversation. There's definitely a lot to learn from it. Here is Ian Harding. So Ian, you mentioned being overweight for most of your early life. Can you tell me about what your childhood was like and some of the hardships you dealt with?
Yeah, absolutely, Tyler. So I just want to, first say thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate that. And yeah, as you were saying, most of my childhood, that's like even childhood up through middle school and high school, was spent overweight. And so one of the stories that I always tell when I go to some of the speaking events that I've done for schools and stuff is I was in elementary school and I was being bullied, but the bullies weren't being caught. I was the one getting in trouble because I was reacting to the bullies. And so they would see that. So I had to go to a counselor, had to talk to somebody about, what's going on, this and that. And I said, these people are either making fun of me because of my weight, my size, and she starts talking about eating and how much I'm eating. And she says her suggestion to me was, so let's say if you go to McDonald's or something, instead of getting two cheeseburgers, why don't you just get one?
Oh my God.
And I was in second or third grade, and I still have a vivid memory of sitting in this woman's office and her saying that to me. So, that was kind of some of the stuff. But then, of course, just the typical stuff, picked last for sports, never really active. I played, baseball. I played T-ball up through high school. I played lacrosse. I never found something that really clicked for me. As far as athletics go, I had fun with lacrosse, but I was playing lacrosse because I had a bunch of friends playing lacrosse. So I just had a lot of the typical, being bullied, being the fat kid kind of situations. But the story that I told you, that's the one that definitely sticks out the most.
Yeah, I can't believe that she would say something like that. And she's supposed to be a professional. But
yeah.
So what was your mindset like back then? Obviously, like you said, being picked on isn't easy.
As I transitioned in, from middle school, I started to figure out that if I somehow made the joke first, it didn't, hurt as much. What I found is there's a lot of people who are overweight who have that experience, right? So a lot of the people who I've talked to who have gone through a weight loss journey say the same exact thing. They're like, oh yeah, I used to do that. That's classic. Everyone who has a weight loss story has said that. So I used to do that in middle school. And then as I transitioned into high school, like I said, I was playing lacrosse. And so I found a really good group of friends through lacrosse. And then that group of friends kind of carried over. And as we got into that sophomore, junior, senior-ish year, everybody started to get girlfriends, and so the girlfriends started to come on board, and I had this core group of friends that I ended up hanging out with, and so it kind of got to the point where what everybody else was saying didn't matter because I didn't give a shit what they were saying. I had a group of really close friends. They never said anything to me. It just kind of, by the time you get a little bit older, you find your friends and you just don't really care what anybody else is saying. And so that's exactly what I did. And it worked out really well. I'm still great friends with all those people who I was friends with in high school. And it's, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So when did your weight loss journey begin? I'm assuming those friends had something to do with that.
Actually, so when all of those friends went away to college, I did not go away to college. I actually stayed at home because I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I had the chance to go and visit them. But as I said, we were really close and we hung out every single weekend, specifically during our senior year. And so that freshman sophomore year of my college journey was actually really dark. And it was a really rough time for me because all of my friends had gone away. And as a freshman sophomore in college, you know, you're looking at your friends who are away, they're partying and having a good time, they're out making new friends, and it kind of seems like they have their life all figured out. They know exactly what they want to go to school for, they know exactly what they want to do once they graduate, they've got friends, they just, it seems like from the outside looking in, they got everything figured out. So that was a really dark point for me, and I actually lost a friend during that time period from high school. And so things got really dark there for a little while. And I was starting a new job as a lifeguard. And with this job, I had the opportunity to use the entire health club where I was working because as an employee, you get a membership there. And so I remember texting one of my best friends and saying, you know, hey, listen, I know you're an athletic trainer. I need some help. It's time to make a change. Can you just give me like just something? Just give me like a little bit of structure that I can go off of. And he sent me a plan that I could use. And it was a very basic weightlifting plan with a little bit of cardio. And the thing that I can remember that he told me was that I was not allowed to run. And now coming from a lacrosse background, you know, and just looking to lose weight, that's usually the first thing that you think of. You're like, well, I'm going to go for a run. Like running is cardio. Cardio helps you lose weight. Like, and I was told I wasn't allowed to do that. And that was a hit. Like that was a kick in the stomach for sure.
So why did he say that you couldn't do any running?
Because of my size. I was over 300 pounds. He did not want me to run at over 300 pounds. So he said, you could do cycling, you could do swimming, you could do the Stairmaster, you could do the elliptical, you could walk, but no running. Like okay. You are absolutely not allowed to run.
Okay. So then when did the triathlon thing come about between that time and when you decided to do it?
So when I was working at this health club, it's a pretty high-end health club in a fairly wealthy area, and triathlon is not an inexpensive hobby to get into. So you can see how it can kind of go hand in hand, right? There's a lot of people who have money, and there's this sport that's expensive, and so they kind of match up together with one another. Now, I'm not saying that you have to, you know, be very well off to compete in triathlons. But it is an expensive hobby if you are like really going to get competitive into it and really get like a nice bike and, you know, really, really like fully immerse yourself. And on top of that, sometimes people who have money, they just tend to look for hobbies where they can spend it, you know, like golf, triathlon, like things that are expensive. They're like, oh, well, I'm just going to go for that because I can get a nice bike and I can, sure. You know what I mean? Like I can really get all the gear. So there was a lot of triathletes at this health club where I was working, and I was starting to cycle because that was one of my allowed activities. I had always been into swimming. I was coaching swimming. And I reached out to my friend in September, and by that November, I had lost enough weight that he would allow me to go for a run. So I started to kind of do some running, and one of my friends texted me and she said, hey, you know, I'm coaching this adult for swimming right now, and they're getting ready for a triathlon. And I know that you've been kind of, you know, doing some working out and getting healthy, and like, what are your thoughts? Would you want to do this with me? And I was like, holy shit. Like, are you a mind reader? Like, I've been thinking about doing this too. And I actually reached out to a guy at this health club. Like, he's around our age, and he was like giving me some great, you know, different places that we could go. So she's like, yeah, let's do it. So we both signed up for this race in Atlantic City. I had a bunch of opportunities to race prior to the Atlantic City race. Like, I had people who were like, hey, I know you're training for that race in Atlantic City, but like, you should come do this one with me. And I had that happen a couple times, and I had to decline. Like, and there was somewhere I knew I was ready. Like, I totally could have done it. It was just, I promised her that this would be our first race together, and I didn't want to kind of break that promise. So I did not do anything prior to that event. That was in Atlantic City, and it was actually almost exactly 1 year later. So I started in September as I was going back to school, my weight loss journey. And then 1 year later in September was when the triathlon was held in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
And what was race day like?
It was now looking back, I made like every rookie mistake. Like, you know, I had like my bag with me, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I wanted to pretend like I knew what I was doing. I'm one of those people who I always at least have to look like I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody comes over and asks me a question like, hey, do you know how I like set up my bike over here? Which now I could like really help them with. But at the time, like, if somebody was coming over to ask me that, I'd be like, all right, cool. Everybody thinks I know what I'm doing. Like, for whatever reason, it's just any new situation, I don't like to look like the newbie.
Yeah.
Like, I want to just fit in and blend in. And I kind of feel like that has to do with my previous story, you know? Like, I just never wanted to be the center of attention, you know? So yeah. I wanted to do everything to kind of just blend in and kind of, like, fly under the radar so no one could kind of, like, look over and be like, you know, it was easy to be made fun of at that point. So I like to just fly under the radar and make it look like I know what I'm doing. I that's just an assumption. I mean, I've never like talked to a professional about that, and I'm not a professional, nor do I play one on TV. That's just my assumption. But race day was, I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, but it was so much fun. Like, I woke up at 4:15 in the morning, and I couldn't be more excited. And I don't think I've ever been more excited than I was on that first race day to be up at 4:15 in the morning. So I walked over from my hotel to the area where the race started. And it was just, it was kind of eerie because it's 4:15 in the morning. You're in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I would say it's similar. It's like the East Coast version of Vegas, or it was at one point in time. Definitely. It's not quite like that anymore, but there's still people that go there and party. I mean, so we're passing people who are partying and going back to their hotel when we're going to the race site. But it was one of those things where, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. I had some times in my head, and I looked at times from previous years just to see. And I knew what I was capable of. And so leading up to the race, somebody was like, oh, your race in Atlantic City is coming up, you know, this and that. I said, it is. I said, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I'm hoping that I might even be able to go, you know, like top 10 in my age group. I've been, you know, really, really training really hard. And this guy's like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, you know, just go out there and have fun, you know. It doesn't have to be like that. And I'm like looking at this guy. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, you know, like I get what you're saying, but at the same time, like, I know how much I've trained for this. And I know like what I'm capable of. And I did look at some times. Now, obviously times change, but you know, from 1 year to the next, you can get a pretty good idea. And I remember being on the run, and I'm looking down at my watch, and there's this guy that's in front of me. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to stay with him like for as long as I possibly can. I'm just going to be like, I want to be able to kind of like almost reach my arm out and touch him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking down at my watch, and I'm like, oh, this thing must not have gotten the GPS. Like, there's no way that thing's fucking right. I've never ran that fast before, right? So I'm like blaming it on the watch, but like I'm keeping my eye on this guy. And we come through the finish line, and it's just like, it's just one of those things. Like, my buddy who got me started was there. He came to the race. His mom came with him. Like, my parents were there. It was just this like really, really like awesome moment. And like, even still to this day, like, I get chills just like thinking about it and talking about it. But I looked down at my watch as I finished, and like, I had a finish time right around where I wanted to be. I think my swim was a little bit slower than I wanted it to be, but my run, like, I had never done a 5K in that time before, and it was accurate. Like, my pace and everything was accurate. So it had to be a matter of that guy was right in front of me, and I wasn't going to let him go. Like, that competitive kind of spirit, that competitive nature came out. And so it was an absolute blast.
And what did you learn from this? Like, it seems like your competitive spirit is so strong. Like, was it always that way, or did it kind of happen as you started working out and taking things more serious?
Well, the first thing that I learned from this was, always check the results and never leave the race early, for one, because I actually ended up on the podium. And not only was I in the top 10 in my age group, but I was in the top 5 of my age group.
Oh my gosh.
And so I should have gotten a picture on the podium, except I left because I wasn't paying attention to the results. So that's the first thing that I learned. But the second thing that I learned was, I don't necessarily know when the competitive nature came in. I think, to be honest with you, it is something that I've always had, but I never had something that could bring it out of me.
Gotcha.
So when I played lacrosse, like I said, I was just playing lacrosse just to have fun, but there were definitely times where if I was running down the field next to somebody to get a ground ball, I wanted to beat that guy to the ground ball. Right. So I had the competitiveness, but I just don't think there was something that would bring it out to the extent that triathlon has brought it out, for sure.
And do you think people in general need to find that thing that brings out their competitiveness, or, you know, makes them feel alive, I guess I would say?
Yeah. So I don't think it necessarily, I think whatever it is that you want to do, I don't think it has to bring out a competitiveness in you, but it's got to bring out a joy in you. It's got to bring out a passion. You have to be excited when you think about doing whatever it is that you want to do. Like, so before we got recording, you mentioned something about, you know, podcasting. I get excited to record podcasts. I get excited to sit down and meet new people. Like, I get excited to do this. And I almost, to the point, like, sometimes I get nervous, just as I do when I'm standing in the corral waiting for my race to start. Mm-hmm. Right. So if triathlon isn't your thing, I totally get that. If starting a podcast isn't your thing, I totally get that too. But you got to find what it is that makes you have this feeling of, I can't wait to do blank, whatever it is. Because once you find that, you know, and I'm not saying you have to turn it into a job, even if it's something that's just a hobby. Like, podcasting right now is a hobby for me. Triathlon is a hobby for me. I'm not going to go pro in triathlon. I can promise you that. I might go pro in podcasting, but who knows what's going to happen with that. But you got to find something. You have to have an outlet and something that's going to make you like really tick, as they say. And so, you know, that's just what I suggest to people, is finding that thing.
And that's a perfect transition. So you're the host, for people who don't know, you're the host of the Do It For Yourself podcast. And so can you tell me why you started this podcast and the message you're trying to spread?
So if you don't mind, I'm going to take like 2 steps back just real quick explain. I just want to explain where the name itself came from. Mm-hmm. So as a cyclist and a runner, You have like this little band that you put on your wrist. It's called a road. The popular one is called a road ID, but I'm sure you've seen it before. You know, people who are diabetic and stuff, and who have medical necessities, they have like one of these bands on their wrist. And it's just, God forbid, if anything happens, there's a band on your wrist that has all the information that could potentially be necessary for medics when they arrive on scene. So I was going to make my road ID, and at the bottom there's an area where you can put like a motivational quote. So I was looking for like motivational quotes and that stuff online. I couldn't really find anything that was, like really sticking out to me. And I don't even remember where I found it, how I found it, but there was a quote, and somewhere in the quote, it just said, "Do it for yourself." And I was like, that's it. That's what I'm doing. Everything that I'm doing, everything that I have done, I'm doing it for myself. Like, I'm doing this because I want to. I'm doing this because I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to do a triathlon. I wanted to go running. Like, everything that I've done, that's the reason that I've done it. And so I just adopted that. And I made the Instagram, and that's just kind of been my mantra. It's like, I'm going for a run because I want to. So it's not something that's selfish, and I still kind of struggle from time to time to put into words, what it means to be doing it for yourself. But yeah. I think that's the best way that I can describe it, is that you're doing it because you want to, and it's not in a selfish way. Like, I don't selfishly do triathlon. Yeah, I just do triathlon because I want to. Now, if my girlfriend says like, "Hey, we got X, Y, and Z going on this week or this, this weekend," and I had a long ride planned, there are some times where I'm like, "Hey, I got this really long ride planned." And there's other times where it's like, "All right, the ride can wait. Like, I got to go do this, I got family things I have to do." So I don't selfishly take away from other areas. It's just that I'm doing something because that's what I want to do. So that's why I started the movement. And then when I started the podcast, I was like, I know I'm not the only one who's doing it for myself. Mm. Like, it's impossible. I know there's other people who are out there who are doing this. So when I started a podcast, I was like, oh man, it would be super, super cool to be, Joe Rogan, the fucking godfather of podcasting. But, he had a following before he started, and he interviews anybody. Like, he interviews people from Bert Kreischer to top level doctors, like, yeah, Rhonda Patrick, yeah, right? So like, I wanted to have a different angle. I didn't want to have just, I'm going to sit down and interview people. Like, so I'm like, okay, how can I spin this? I'm like, well, there's got to be other people who are doing it for themselves. And so as we were saying in the beginning, my goal was, okay, I'm going to start this and I'm going to do it for 1 year. I'm going to interview 52 people who are somehow, some way doing it for themselves and who have an amazing story and who have gone on to do it for themselves in some way, shape, or form. And so that's exactly what I did. And I sat down with, 52 different people. And it was really cool because actually I sat down with, I guess, like 50 people, 51 people. And for the final episode of the first year of the podcast, I sat down with the guy that gave me my first training plan. And we went through and we reviewed my story for the people who didn't know it. So it was cool to have that angle, yeah, of him interviewing me, because he was right there in the thick of it with me the whole time.
And what do you want listeners to take away when they discover your podcast?
I want people to take away that, one, you don't have to be doing something like crazy. You don't have to free solo LCAP. You don't have to go and, make this insane transition if that's not something that you want to do, right? But I do want people to realize that whatever it is that you want to do, it is 100% possible, and you can accomplish anything. And not only can you accomplish anything, but you can meet some amazing people along the way. And so just take that first step. And if you have this, even the slightest little inclination that like you might want to do something, try it. Just take the first step and try it. Like, don't overanalyze everything. I can't tell you how many times I overanalyzed why I couldn't do a triathlon, when I weighed over 300 pounds, 250, and on down the line. Like, my buddy told me I'm not allowed to run. I know I can't do a triathlon. How can I do a triathlon if I can't run? Like, So it's just, you know, don't overanalyze things. It's not, you're not going to have a perfect plan. And even if you do have a perfect plan, guess what? It's not going to fucking work every time. Like, just take the first step and you're going to figure it out along the way. That's what I want people to see when they listen to my podcast. I want people to see that, like, this is just ordinary people doing things and not giving up because it's what they want to do. They didn't get to where they are because, you know, they just had this miraculous, like, come to Jesus and, you know, the light came down and shined on them. And then, like, boom, they instantly lost 100 pounds or moved out of their house into a van or, you know, they've been sober for 667 days after having to be in detox for 7 straight days to come off of the alcohol and pills that they were on. Like, these are ordinary people. And everyone has a story.
Amen to that. And going off of that, this podcast, we're all about, you know, building the underdog mentality and growing from your struggles. Do you think that your hardships have helped make you stronger?
I mean, without sounding like an arrogant jackass, yeah, 100%. Like, because, and like, we didn't like really get into, you know, how dark the dark times were for me. But like those struggles, in some sick, twisted way, like when I am on my bike or doing a really hard run or in the midst of a hard swim set, that pain that I am suffering from during that hard interval, which believe me, if you are doing a hard interval on the bike, it hurts. Yeah. It really hurts, right? But nothing can amount to the pain, you know, that I was going through. Like, just imagine being a kid in third grade and having someone say, like, well, why don't you just eat one cheeseburger, right? You can't compare that pain, right? So I think that that's enabled me to become a stronger athlete and just like a stronger person in general. And that's, you know, like I said, I don't want to sound like an arrogant jackass. Like, I'm not sitting here pounding my chest, but I do agree with you. Yes, I think that those difficult times have absolutely, you know, helped me and shaped me into this underdog mentality.
And one last question before we wrap this up. What would you say is your biggest piece of advice for people out there who are trying to dig themselves out of those dark times?
So I've mentioned this on the podcast, on my podcast a couple times, and it's usually my piece of advice for anybody. And it really doesn't matter, you know, what kind of dark times you're going through. If you're trying to dig yourself out, you got to make small steps, right? And it's got to be a small step that's going to be challenging for you. So when you are starting, let's say you're starting a weight loss journey and you drink a 12 pack of soda a day, right? Cut down those sodas, like make a small change. That's a small change, right? We're only changing one thing. We're changing a beverage choice that you make during the day. Very small, but in the grand scheme of things, first of all, the amount of empty calories that you're going to save is absolutely amazing, right? But it's something that's going to challenge you. Like saying you're going to take a multivitamin, oh, that's a small change. Like that's not a fucking challenge. You're taking a multivitamin, right? Like you got to make something that's going to challenge you. So, you know, and that goes for starting in the gym. That goes for, like, for some people, just going to the gym and doing 20 minutes of cardio is going to be in the grand scheme of things, like I said, it's a pretty small change, but that could be so walking through the door of the gym is challenging for people. So small changes that challenge you, I think, are really big. And don't overthink everything. Like, don't constantly worry and think you have to have this perfect plan, because you don't. Like, and even if you do, like I said earlier, it's not going to go perfect every single time. So I think those are the two biggest things. Now, obviously, if you're trying to dig yourself out of a dark hole that involves you know, some sort of substance abuse, you got to reach out for help in that kind of a situation. But if you're in a dark hole, like where I was, and, you know, where some people do find themselves, start by making small changes, and then you're going to see that snowball kind of start to roll down the hill.
You know, it's funny. That's great advice, but it's really funny to me because I actually just interviewed another gentleman who finished his first triathlon, and he gave very, very similar advice. And it's kind of weird because every time I ask that question, I always get a different answer. But you guys had very similar answers, and you both have the triathlon background.
Oh, that is interesting. Who do you mind me asking who it was?
Yeah, his name is Josh Muskin. I actually just put it out.
Okay.
It's our 22nd episode. So yeah, you could always go back and listen to that, but it's just funny to me because that never usually happens. So do you want to tell people where they can find you and your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So the Do It For Yourself podcast is available everywhere where you can get podcasts. So we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, we're on CastBox, we're on, I think that's the main ones. It's on Podbean if you want to look for Podbean, but I feel like a lot of people kind of just used a podcasting catcher, as they call it. So if you just pop in the Do It For Yourself podcast, it's definitely going to pop up. The only one that I've had a little bit of difficulty with so far is Spotify, but I think I've gotten that all the kinks worked out there. So yeah, we're available everywhere on there. And then I am most active on Instagram, so it's just Do It For Yourself on Instagram, and you can find me on there as well.
Awesome. And Ian, thanks so much for coming on the show, sharing your story. I really appreciate your time.
No, man. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you learned something new, smash that subscribe button and leave us a quick review. Hustle and Motivate is presented by JokerMag.com, the home of the underdog.